I am Dr. John Lakey.
And I'm Dr. Payman Danielport. We're board-certified plastic surgeons and hosts of the podcast Forever Young.
Join us every Tuesday as we share the latest products and procedures in the never-ending quest to help our patients look and feel their very best.
The world of cosmetic surgery is constantly improving. Join us on the cutting edge. Forever Young is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. As always, I am your couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews, joined by the wonderful, effervescent, and eternally youthful Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
Yeah, flattery will get you everywhere.
I feel like that. I like that. We are talking about a sensitive topic today.
Yes.
Or, I mean, it's sensitive, but more controversial. People fall on a lot of different ways about it. We are talking about porn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of different ways. We're not going to cover everything about porn today, but there's lots of opinions out there about this.
About using it. What it means.
What it means, whether it's useful in relationship or not, whether it's, a lot of people we're going to debate whether it's moral or not, all kinds of different things about where pornography falls for them, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I think it's important if your partner is using porn is to think about why, not necessarily what is missing in the relationship, but what does it, like, can we somewhat depersonalize it and think about what it means to them?
And what porn means to you, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people do not even think about what meaning they give to pornography.
Yeah.
Right? Because in part it's so accessible. And it is everywhere, and it has permeated our culture in a lot of different ways.
It's changed us.
It really has.
It's changed our sex lives.
Yeah, and so especially with the internet the last 30, 40 years, mm-hmm. it's in everybody's hands, literally.
Right.
And through your phones and through your tablets and different things like that. So we almost don't stop to actually think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're talking about can we depersonalize it, Lori, I think that's hard. I think that's really difficult. If my partner is using porn, it feels like they are taking, a lot of times, they're taking the sexual energy that in our relationship and putting it into pornography.
Well,
right?
And I'm taking a clinical viewpoint on this. Like, mm-hmm. when somebody comes and tells me some sort of sexual fantasy, my first thought is not to judge that as, is it a doable fantasy? Can we make that happen in the coupleship? It's like a dream, right? I want them to analyze what their fantasy means to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in porn, if we could stop for a minute and people could analyze, what does my particular fantasy about porn and how I use it, what does it mean to me?
Mm.
And also as a partner, to wonder about your partner's use of porn. Like, what does it mean to them versus feeling absolutely so threatened all the time. I know that there is a threat, and it's the same sort of thing, again, in an affair. I mean, and many times, like, we want to say, okay, what did it mean to you? It meant you wanted to hurt me. It's like, wait, there's another part here that they had the affair to mean something, you know, for themselves.
Yeah.
And I know that's utterly painful, and people don't want to do that, but to bring us together, to find a more intimate place about dicey subjects, we have to examine things on, you know, a level that is curious, not just judgmental.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you about that. I think that's absolutely the case. I think it's just a hard emotional leap, mm-hmm. right, to be able to do that, to depersonalize it in that way, because you're exactly right. Like, that's what I hear from couples all the time. If one partner is using porn and the other partner doesn't know about it and then it's discovered, they feel like they were cheated on,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a very similar feeling.
Absolutely. I hear that a lot.
And so that's one of the things that I think, like, to be able to do that, you have to slow down as you're talking about to depersonalize it. And those feelings have to be talked about as well. The hurt that it has the potential. And not every relationship does it cause that much hurt, but you have to acknowledge the hurt that the partner that maybe is not using porn feels if their partner is using in that way.
But I like know couples who use porn and they use it between themselves to enhance erotic feelings, to get started, to there are ways that people use porn and erotica and stuff that actually, you know, makes sex spicier and draws them closer to each other. It doesn't go into this compulsive, avoidant way that people can use porn. And that's probably my personal objection with it, is I see so many people using porn in a way that actually avoids the hassle of negotiating sex, avoids sexual intimacy. You know, they're filling their heads with other people and not necessarily truly seeing their partner and their needs and being in an intimate way. But I mean, sometimes they're at a hotel, they watch porn, they have wild sex. You know, it's
so how do you,
I don't think that that's a bad thing necessarily.
See, I have a problem seeing the benefits of it. So tell me about that. Like, what, like, in a health, if you're if it's healthy, what does that look like? What is healthy?
Well, I realize, as I say this, right? It's like I'm not a priestess, or I'm not a spiritual advisor. So I'm not talking about a moral good or moral bad here. I'm talking about maybe something practical that I certainly know people who use it and it enhances their erotic life. And you know, they use it to sometimes actually as a fantasy outside of something that they would never want to do because they're monogamous. And so they can fantasize about others and, you know, the themes of porn that, you know, are so popular. They can fantasize about all of that, but they can then they're not necessarily dependent on it. They also make love to each other, but sometimes they use this in a way that, you know, is for spice.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, if we're not dealing overall with people who come in and say, "Hey, great, we use porn this way, and you know, and it's great." I mean, people are coming to us who have differences. Who one feels it is a moral wrong, and the other feels like no, it's not. Yeah. You know, or one feels like, you know, oftentimes they're sexually compulsive.
I think
as far as I'm concerned, men use porn, and I know that women use porn too. But I never worry about compulsivity with women. They just don't have the hormones to have it hit them. If a woman is sexually compulsive, it's generally with acting out. It's not necessarily with looking at porn, you know, and being preoccupied with porn. It's really being preoccupied with love relationships that are compulsive, you know, so she's using, being used. She's the lady trap. I had
See, I think one of the things that the distinction that you're making there is that has to do with it's not secret, right? Like,
yes, it's not secret.
I think maybe that's the good that I hear in what you're talking about when couples are using it practically. It's not hidden from one partner.
Right. I mean, the whole secret thing is I think enhances that feeling of they're cheating on me.
Yeah.
Right, they have something on the side that is more sexually exciting than me. Mm. I mean, yeah, I get that. I get how painful that is.
Yeah, because it is something sexual that's happening out when it's hidden. It's something sexual that's happening outside of the coupleship.
Yeah.
And so that to me, it's better for there not to be secrets in a relationship, right? I mean, I think that's pretty foundational. And so that ability, if they're both doing it together, has the ability for that to stir some of those conversations and some of those things better.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, Lori, we differ just a little bit on kind of the benefits of it. And there's some risk that I see that I want to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
And whether you see them as risk as well in using porn in a relationship. So
I can feel like anxiety in me about even coming out on the positive, right? Yeah. Because I know we have so many listeners who feel like it's a moral bad, you know, that we have a lot of faith listeners and I in no way want to encourage you to do something that would be against your faith.
Yeah.
I mean, but I can see the other side of it too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think, and that's one of the reasons to talk about it. So what we were talking about when we started about talking about your position on porn with your partner clarifies things for you, just like it does with anything.
Right.
But knowing I know a lot of couples that they've just never talked about their position on. They just assumed that their partner would feel the same way that they do about porn.
Sure.
So being able to have that conversation
really important
is really important, yeah. And that gets it, that helps to depersonalize it, I think.
Yeah, because some people don't care at all. Either that's implicit or explicit. I mean, they don't care at all. That's,
yeah. So
okay.
Let's come back and let's talk about some more aspects of this important issue.
Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters.
Right? Yeah. Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide to you as our listeners.
If, you know, our work touches you and our work helps you, we would be so grateful for your support. Just go to our website, foreplayrst.com, and there you can find a way to support us and you can see our episodes and our blogs. And thank you so much, guys.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Porn. Let's talk some more.
I think we have to laugh about it, but I'm also going to laugh at you just looking up and going, porn. It's a serious subject, but it is something that is just, it's so complicated. So we were talking about, as we were kind of leaving there, the last part of that first part, I was talking about just some of the risk, and I do, you know, see it as risky in relationship.
I do too, Adam.
It's
distorting in many ways.
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones, right?
Yeah,
is that if you're going to use it, even if you're going to use it in the way that you were talking about, to me, you have to really understand that it is a distorted image of a sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Right? It is not based in reality. It is completely based in fantasy.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
the ever allured partner. Yeah. Like ready for sex at a minute's notice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not true. It's without context.
Yeah.
Overall.
I don't know if you watched Friends, the sitcom Friends, when it aired.
Yes.
So there's.
I'm old enough to have watched Friends.
Okay. Well, good.
I'm young enough to have watched Friends.
It wasn't an accusation, but still. But there's an episode where Joey and Chandler, they get free porn on their TV, and they're afraid. So they're afraid to switch it off, that they'll lose it. So they keep it on, right? And then
the girls come over.
Well, they order a pizza. They order a pizza, and I think one of them goes, I think we have to turn off the porn. I was just shocked when the pizza girl didn't come in and offer to have sex with me, right? It gives you that kind of mentality. Yes,
yeah,
it gives you that kind of mentality that all of these things that these fantasies are based in reality, which just causes pressure and stress in your relationship, right? Because nobody can live up to the porn image.
And do you think it more distorts female desire than male desire?
Maybe.
You know, I think it distorts male's prowess, right?
Yeah.
That he's always erect, that he's huge.
That
he goes forever, which women don't like. And, you know, it's like that whole thing is a distortion, which I think as a male, you know, just talk about, I don't know, that would make me anxious. You know,
yeah.
And I think for women, again, the whole body image thing, oh, my God. I mean, we can go on. I agree. It's distorting.
Just to add one more to that.
But
it's distorts,
also arousing, right? I mean, that's...
One of the things that it distorts, I think, is that it distorts that sex is everything. And, I mean, you know, I mean, we believe in the importance of sex in a relationship.
Yes.
Right? And its value. But it makes sex the number one thing, right, on the checklist of what makes a relationship good. And that's the primary goal in life.
And I think that probably is generationally distorting because young men are seeing porn, young women are seeing porn, and it becomes this focal point, like that sex has to be this good. It has to be this crazy all the time. And that's what good sex is versus sex that's meaningful and bonding between two people. Yeah. To me, that's what great sex is. Yeah. It's not the gymnastics and, you know, going forever and, you know, just the franticness. That's not necessarily even good.
Yeah. The other thing, the other risk to it that I see is because it is so accessible right now in the time that we live in, and I don't think it's going to be
free.
Less. I mean, it's not going to go back in the box.
No, like, it's just never going away.
It's never going away. Is that, I think especially for men, like it distorts our brains, first of all. I mean, there's some studies that are still being done about the brain effects of it, but essentially, like, it creates new pathways in our brains, just like drugs do.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be addicting similarly to drugs. I mean, they're still studying how addicting it is.
Right. I know that. But I worry about that.
Yeah. So that, to me, like, you're opening up that chance that there is an addiction, that there is not just an addiction, but that it's going to go outside of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I just question the benefit of it in relationship. Is the benefit of the practicality of the arousal that it brings, is it worth the potential risk and the potential harm in it? And so that's, when we're talking about it, I think those things that are the things that weigh in my mind.
I know that, you know, we have a slight disagreement here, but everything you've just said, and I do agree with. And I'm not a therapist, and I think this is what's worrisome, right? A sex therapist who says, oh, and by the way, you should be watching porn. No, I'd never do that. Although I did have a couple recently say, you know, do you know any good porn films? I'm like, oh, no, now we're in real trouble. You know, I don't. That's the problem.
You don't want people emailing you asking for your porn recommendations?
No, actually, we need to curate porn or something. No. Yeah, it's like, no, I mean, that is right problematic, and this is another issue. You know, these people, I know that people put up, you know, their own porn now, right, that they're supposedly not being paid for, and it's all real people having, you know, sex. I got to say, it is not real people having sex. It is exhibitionists having sex, because real people do not put up pictures of themselves having sex. So there's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, I understand it's different than maybe the porn star with the fake boobs and, you know, and the guy that's hung like a horse. And that's, you know, that some people really like that. But I think overall, everybody recognizes that is not real. But I hope they also recognize that the couple doing it on the kitchen floor is also not real, because it's exhibitionism.
Well, what I wonder about in that is that it again, the distortion factor, but the expectation of there must be something wrong with me if I don't want to film myself having sex and put it on the internet, right? Or that sexual—
I don't want to scare everybody.
or that's what sexual freedom means. And sexual positivity being— so that sex positive means that I'm also okay with all of this.
I think—
for
yeah.
myself,
I
right?
think in, you know, being in the sex therapy industry, sex positive has come to mean anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything goes. And I'm a therapist concerned about love between two people.
Yeah.
And how sex enhances that and how they can enjoy that and make it more pleasurable. I am not about sex outside of monogamy, actually. I mean, I treat people who have, you know, lots of different relationships. They're poly or whatever, and I'm not judgmental of them, but they're coming to me with their problems. We are there to help them with their problems, not necessarily to endorse their lifestyle, you know, right? But, I mean, in terms of my life's work, it's about how do we help couples who are committed? And I think that porn, while it reflects couples who are not committed sometimes, and I think there is room in our sex lives for fantasy. And sometimes fantasy is visual. Sometimes fantasy is literary. Sometimes fantasy is in our own heads. And I'm not necessarily sure that those differ so much or that we need to get rid of those. I think fantasy is a way we stay in monogamy and have, you know, kind of we can bring that to make it more exciting.
So, I mean, so are you saying if it's a bridge to talk about that fantasy life, if it's a bridge to kind of to be open with each other about that?
I mean, that feels more technical probably than I would say about it.
Okay.
You know, I think that people use it as just as let's watch porn. It's a fantasy.
Okay.
They're having an experience together that is outside of their bedroom, you know,
so
just what they're doing. And they feel aroused by that, and they have good sex. And I mean, I think that that could be enhancing.
So it increases the arousal between the two of them.
Yeah, it does.
Which, again, to me, is about the relationship.
It is.
It's about making the relational in-person live sex
better. I mean, it's
better.
Like it's like being close enough to your partner to say, that guy is hot. You know, and you actually are keeping the eroticism about your feelings within the partnership when you say that to your partner, presuming that you're not threatening him. You know, you're not saying that because you know he'll be jealous or go crazy. It's like, I mean, right? We feel attraction. If we're sexual beings, we feel attraction to others. We can take that energy and take it captive, if you will, into the relationship. I mean, even people who are morally against porn watch porn. I mean, women maybe who are morally against it don't. But men, I know. I don't know a man anywhere ever who has not seen porn or used porn or is using porn. I just don't. And I'm really hesitant to condemn all them as immoral.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. And that's, I mean, I can only make that decision for myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's moral or not.
Right.
What I can, even if I don't want to condemn them as immoral, but I want to be wide-eyed and clear-eyed about the effects
that
it has.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And not to say that, not to turn a blind eye to them or ignore them.
Right. And I, you know, I have three sons and they're grown men now, but I've encouraged all of them not to use porn because I think it is distorting and I want them to have hot sex lives with real women, you know, and I think that sometimes another problem is they compare what they're seeing on screen to what they're having and they either feel inadequate or they feel their partner's inadequate. I mean, it goes on and on. But I think there's probably also a space that, you know, people can use it to enhance arousal. And in a relationship that it isn't threatening, in a safe relationship, like, you know, you're not worried that your partner wants to be with that woman or you want to be with that guy or, you know, I mean.
That's what it seemed to me. It would seem to me that it requires a lot of safety.
It would.
That the relationship has to feel really safe to me. It has to feel really safe to my partner. And we have to be in agreement about that, right?
Absolutely.
That it's not a threat to either one of us. For us to step forward in the
world. Because it's terribly hurtful to the relationship if one is using it, as you said, secretly and knows their partner doesn't want them to, or it's discovered. It's like, what? Yeah. You use porn? I mean, that can be a nightmare. Okay, so basically, we have to know how our partner feels about it. We have to understand why we're using it. I think people need to understand deeply, you know, what they use about it. Is it to get aroused because they somehow or another don't have an imagination? I mean, one person asked me, the person who said, can you pick out the porn? It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, you have to figure out what arouses you. I mean, for crying out loud, it's like, and they had repression and inhibition about discovering themes, let alone themes with their partner that even turn them on, right? I mean, there's a million things that turn people on. And to be so blank inside that they don't even know that, that's the repression that we're dealing with. I mean, that's why they're asking me for advice about that. That's a whole other session. We got to do that someday. But, you know, so I think overall, you know, my sense is porn is here to stay. We have to cope with this. I'm not endorsing porn as a solution to sexual deadness. I'm saying some people use porn in a way that is between them. It enhances arousal. I don't think that that's toxic and bad. I do think I have seen, let me go on record, I've seen porn as toxic and bad in any number of ways that concern me about this culture, about relationships, about men using porn. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So talk about it. Talk about it with your partner. Be clear about how you're using it, what you mean. Definitely don't hide it. And just go in open-eyed about the risk that's presenting yourself. So.
Okay. Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. We're out.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4Play. That's 833-4-PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.